many years, my friend and professional humorist Dave Barry wrote a newspaper column that appeared in more than 500 newspapers. As he tells it, the column generated thousands of letters from readers who thought he should be fired. Despite this, Dave won the Pulitzer Prize for commentary. One of Dave's columns was largely responsible for the movement to observe International Talk Like a Pirate Day every year on September 19th. As Dave sees it, this is probably his most enduring achievement. Dave has written more than 30 books, including the novels Big Trouble, Lunatics, Tricky Business, and most recently, Insane City. He's also written a number of books with titles like I'll Mature When I'm Dead, which are technically classified as nonfiction, although they contain numerous lies. Today we'll chat with Dave about his new title, Live Right and Find Happiness. Welcome, Dave. I'm thrilled to have you with us again on the Book Report.
Elaine, it's always a pleasure to be with you.
I know you do exhaustive research before putting pen to paper. Did you happen to uncover the number of other bestsellers that have the word beer in their subtitle?
No. Is that a large genre? I know, Dostoevsky wrote War and Beer. No, that was totally. And then Melville wrote Moby Beer. I'm running out of. Oh, Marcel Proust, of course.
Oh.
Remembrance of Beer Pat.
Right. In a career as prestigious as yours, you've met hundreds of famous folks. Can you share your experience of meeting Dick Cheney?
Yeah, I am. This is an object lesson in why you should not drink too much unless you're with good friends. Because you tend to think, at least I tend to think, that I'm much more amusing than I really am. And this is one of those things. It was a small gathering at the Washington Post, maybe 24 people, and it was mostly cartoonists and me and Ted Koppel, and then they had as the guest of honor, then Secretary of Defense Dick Cheney. And so, again, small room, small gathering, and open bar. And so I had a couple beers. I meet Dick Cheney, and, you know, stick your hand out, shake hands, you know, Secretary Cheney, it's nice to meet you. Do that little ritual. Then a little while later, we kind of bump into each other, and I, without thinking, stick my hand out again, and he reflexively sticks his hand out again. And we did it again, and then we both realized, oh, we already did this, and we get a little bit sheepish, you know. But I thought that, you know, he just thought, okay, he's an idiot. I thought, wow, that was pretty funny. I'm going to do that again. So, like, about 2 minutes later, I deliberately go up and say, Secretary Cheney, Dave Barry, and, you know, now, you know, he's not so amused. And so, of course, I did it again. He's looking around for the guy, you know, he's looking for his sniper to take me out, or he's going to take me quail hunting, I don't know. But anyway, if he's listening, and I know he is, Secretary Cheney, Vice President Cheney, I apologize, I was an idiot. I will never shake your hand again without it being a good reason.
All right. In the book, you seek to uncover blatant lies, like the ones perpetrated by Home Depot.
Home Depot runs these ads, which should be illegal, or they should carry a warning the way they do with the drugs, where they suggest that people can do things themselves. Like they'll typically show a cheerful homeowner couple, and they're at Home Depot, and they're looking at, like, tile samples. And then there's a short scene where they're wearing safety goggles and screwing in a screw. And then the next thing you know, they have a whole new kitchen. And I'm saying, that is not the way it's actually going to happen. And they should have, like, a disclaimer in those ads. You know, this cheerful couple is actually, they're actors. They can't do it themselves. They can't make a kitchen themselves. They can't even make coffee themselves. If you need a kitchen, you're going to have to hire people with trucks to come do it for you.
Good advice. I loved reading about your experiences in Brazil when you went to see the World Cup. Dave, answer honestly. On any given Sunday afternoon, would you choose to watch a soccer game over American football?
Yes. I have become a big fan of soccer over the years. And I know that's like you're not supposed to, that's not supposed to, yeah, you're supposed to feel if you're an American. But if you analyze the two sports, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with football, but people always say that, you know, the problem with soccer is there's not enough action. And the truth is, in soccer, they pretty much never stop running around, except for when they fall down and pretend to be injured, which I admit they do a lot, but there's a lot of action. Whereas in American football, it's mostly they're holding meetings, which we call huddles, but there's a lot of meeting going on during which you see replays. And then, you know, then the typical play lasts 3 seconds and it involves everybody on the field falling down. When my daughter Sophie was around two, she and I remember, I'll never forget, we were watching a football game together, and Sophie got the hang of it after a while and started doing this play by play, like when they would form up at the line of scrimmage, she'd go ready, and then they'd run the play and she'd go, fall down. That describes a great deal of a football game. Ready? Fall down. Ready? Fall down.
Well, speaking of Sophie, you write 2015 is the year when she will get her learner's permit. How will you teach her to navigate South Florida roads?
Well, I'm really disturbed about this because the South Florida roads are no place for teenagers. They're really no place for anybody. They're incredibly dangerous. We have people driving, as I always say, a lot of people driving according to the laws of their country of origin. Then we have a lot of seniors driving here, and they're using, a lot of them, what I call the seeing eye wife method of driving, where the man is driving because the man drives, but he can no longer see, which is, you know, let's be honest, a pretty important component of the driving skill. So his wife is sitting next to him doing the seeing and conveying to him by yelling what she sees. Let's yellow, no, it's red, stop, no, go, it's green, go, you know, that kind of. So anyway, this is, my daughter's going to be out there driving, and what troubles me is that she's studying the Florida Driver's Manual, which is full of lies. I mean, you can't, it says, for example, in the Florida Driver's Manual, that if there's no posted speed limit, you should go 35 miles an hour. And, you know, what it's always like, if you go 35 miles an hour in Miami, they're going to shoot at you. So I have a realistic driver's manual in the book that explains to Sophie how people actually drive in Florida. Like, if you see somebody's turn signal on in Florida, what that means is that's the driver's way of letting you know that he or she doesn't know that his turn signal is on.
We're speaking with Dave Barry on the Book Report. You and Ridley Pearson visited Russia as a guest of the U.S. State Department as part of their American Writers Program. How did that go for you?
Well, the idea behind this program is to improve relations between the U.S. and Russia. We see how well that's working out. We just hope to God they don't send Ridley and me to Iran next. It was interesting. They had warned us that we would be under surveillance over there, including maybe even in our hotel rooms. But we had an interesting time. I would say the main thing I learned in my trip to Russia is if you go to Russia, do not eat the Mexican food, which I made the mistake of doing. There was a Mexican restaurant run by Russians near our hotel in Moscow. We went there and ate one night, and they really don't have a flair for Mexican food, the Russians. And I ate what I later came to believe was a weaponized chimichanga, and ended up in severe intestinal distress. And all I would say is, if the Russians were conducting surveillance of our rooms, I really pity the Russian who was listening to my room. Years of psychotherapy.
I'm sorry, Dave. But I was amazed to read that the Russians have the ability to control the weather. Were you making this up?
No. We arrived on Moscow City Day, which is basically the anniversary of the founding of Moscow. It's a big holiday in Moscow every year, and the weather was beautiful. We had been led to, you know, we were expecting gray skies and snow and sleet. It was nice. It was lovely. And the woman taking us around said, no, the government does that. They drop stuff into the clouds. And I didn't believe her, so I looked it up on the Internet, and we can't trust the Internet. Who can we trust? But the Russian government actually is quite proud of this, and there were a couple of articles about it. They dump chemicals into the clouds in huge quantities on days when they want the weather to be nice, and it works. The clouds go away. There's bright sunshine in Moscow when they have their big parades. That's apparently not great for the environment, but they don't care about that. They're Russians, you know. And so I thought, wouldn't it be great if city of Miami, where I live, could control the weather? We could control, maybe make the hurricanes go away. But then it occurred to me that if Miami could control the weather, we would probably use it to attack Cuba.
Would it be safe to say the birth of your first grandchild was the motivation to write this book on life lessons?
I don't know. know it was the motivation, but it certainly was a major major part of the book. I am a grandfather now, and I wanted to write a letter to my grandson, Dylan, conveying to him the wisdom that I've acquired in my 67 years. You know, and I thought, well, what have I learned that is really true and really I think is important to pass along to the next generation? And the one lesson that I really believe in that I pass along is that you do not need to refrigerate ketchup. many people do, and they don't need to. My argument is if you go into a restaurant, where's the ketchup? It's on the table. It's been there like for all day, maybe all week, maybe for several years in certain restaurants. That's where they keep the ketchup. And you never say, waiter, bring me some cold ketchup to put on my hamburger.
Dave, any final thoughts on Live Right and Find Happiness?
Only that it's available in bookstores everywhere, here and on other planets, in exchange for money.
And I'm going to tell the readers that it is money well spent. Dave, thanks a million for joining us today.
Elaine, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.